Mack Weldon, it's better than the underwear you're wearing right now. I'll tell you that. I vouch for that. I wear it all the time. And guess who's here in the studio? I always talk about her. My wife happened to stop by, so she's here to vouch for me. Mack Weldon.
You look really good in those Mack Weldons, babe.
I look good. My wife, clearly uncomfortable to be on mic, but very passionate in the fact it looks better than that brand I used to wear that shall not be named.
It's a nice cut. Very flattering.
Very flattering cut. We heard it here. On Beautiful Anonymous, Mack Weldon, it's the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants you'll ever wear. They want you to be comfortable. If you don't like your first pair, you keep it. They'll still refund you, no questions asked. Not only do they look good, they perform well too. Good for working out, go to work, dates. I can vouch for that. We've been on some good dates while I'm wearing Mack Weldon to get my confidence up. Go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off using promo code BEAUTIFUL. When you're trying to tell your story to the world, I can vouch for it personally. MailChimp can help. For free, they've got gorgeous pre-designed email templates. You can also code your own, make it feel personal. It's one of my favorite things about using MailChimp, which I've done for many years. You send people an email. It really comes from you. You can feel it. You can make it personal. You put in a little effort. They make it so easy to do so. It shows up in their inbox. They know you put that personal thought into it. They'll show you how to send, when you should send, why people open an email or why they delete it. They'll also help you find your audience. They'll help you grow your business. MailChimp can help you tell your story effectively and find people who care about it more at MailChimp.com. Hello, all you undercover badasses. It's Beautiful Anonymous. 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun. And I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hey, everybody. It's Gethard here, and you're about to hear a conversation that I personally felt so lucky that I got to have it. Here, you're about to hear from a person who has walked the razor's edge, has seen some hard stuff up close, and this caller was so cool and positive in the face of a lot of really hard stuff, really woke me up, makes me feel pretty grateful about life. So caller, thank you not just for the call, but genuinely for the perspective and the positivity and for being such a breath of fresh air while talking about some stuff that is not a breath of fresh air at all. I hope you guys all enjoy this call.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this Chris?
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. I saw your message said something, you know, very different from you, and I think also maybe different from your usual folks. And so here I am. I'm 46 years old and single parent and kid. So I just thought it might be cool to call and shake things up a little.
Yeah, I'm into that. Thanks for calling.
Yay, thanks.
Yeah, you sound into this. You don't sound nervous at all. I've been getting lots of nervous people lately. You sound like you're just chilling.
Yeah, I'm actually at work. I'm hopeful that, and I'm in my office with door closed. I'm really hopeful that nobody is looking for me. But yeah, and I have my phone plugged in this really awkward position, but that's okay.
So you're hiding out at work. You're hiding out at work, crouching next to an outlet right now.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
So,
what were you going to say?
Oh no, you go. It's your call. You go for it.
Okay. I was kind of thinking how I've been reflecting lately, especially because right now it's October. I don't know when this will air, but it's, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm a survivor.
Oh, wow.
And it's 5 years, actually, this month that I'm cancer-free. So it's really exciting. I think maybe that's why I'm feeling so good right now.
Wow. Congrats. Good for you.
Thank you.
So you're a single mom and you had breast cancer?
I know. Yeah.
How old? How many kids do you have? How old are they?
I just have one who's 13, a son, and he's awesome. And yeah, we've been through a lot together. I mean, we got divorced from his dad when he was young, and have a lot of cancer in my family. Unfortunately, my dad passed away years ago from cancer, and my mom 2 years ago from cancer.
Wow.
And I know. And then I had it, and also my boyfriend right after my mom passed away. So it's just been really crazy.
Your boyfriend passed away as well?
No. He's still around, thank God. Yes. No, he's doing good.
So you're both cancer survivors?
Yes, exactly.
And you guys are still together?
Yeah.
Wow. That's more cancer than one person should have to deal with in life.
Right? I know. It really stinks.
And do you live with your boyfriend?
I'm hoping that it's all behind us. Yes. We didn't at the time when he had cancer. In fact, we had planned on moving in together, and then it was like, oh, you have cancer. And he's like, well, let's wait until, you know, things are kind of more normal. So, but yes, we do now.
And did you live together when you had cancer 5 years ago?
No, but in fact, I was single, like for real single, and I, you know, had been kind of off and on doing the online dating thing, and so kind of like on the, you know, like, oh, I'm kind of getting out of the, you know, cancer stuff, and I was still growing my hair back from chemo, and I just was coming across a couple, you know, go out with a guy and then like kind of like each other. And then I'd be like, oh, you know, I have breast cancer and scars and this and that. And then they were like out of there, you know?
Wow.
And so I decided I was just going to like throw it out there, you know, next time I posted online and not, you know, totally here's all my business, but just like I'm a breast cancer survivor, you know, just so you know, like so that people kind of know what they're getting into. And my boyfriend was like the only one who messaged me, and he was awesome. So
oh, that's cool.
Getting into
that must be good to realize, like I'm getting into this thing with somebody who, at the very least, I know, open minded, good hearted person. It's a pretty good starting point.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Wow, I have so many questions.
Okay.
So, like, I don't want.
Oh, gosh, I have, like, an alarm going off on my phone. Can you hold on just one second? I'm sorry. Hold on, I hope I don't get disconnected.
Was it for some important work thing that you're now skipping to talk to me?
Okay. Are you there? Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm here. What was the alarm for? Big board meeting?
I think it was... Like, oh, I have to do something on the computer, but it can wait. It's not the end of the world.
You're sure? I'm not going to get you fired, right? You're not going to get fired for talking to me.
No, you're really not. I swear. There's like nobody here. So.
Okay, good, good, good.
I'm good.
So here's my first question. I don't want to get too grim, but just like piecing together all the timing of it. So you're a single mom.
Yeah.
Your boy is 8 years old. You get cancer. You've lost both your parents to cancer. There must be a world of emotions there that really, I would imagine, not too many people have lived through.
Yeah, it was a tough time. Although when I, my mom passed away actually after kind of the majority of the issues of my cancer happened. So by the time she passed away, I was doing pretty well and kind of out of it. If you have to have cancer with your mom, it worked out well because sort of like when I was doing bad, she was doing good and kind of vice versa. So we really helped each other get through. So she totally helped with my son and his dad totally was, you know, really like, you know, whatever you need, I'll help and stuff. So
that's good. So he's still in the picture. He's helping out.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, I have to give you credit right away. That was by far, I would imagine, the most positivity-laced answer to a severely grim question in the history of this show.
Wow, yay. I mean, you know, I got you. It's sort of like it's in the past. I mean, you know, I probably, if I have to say anything that was the hardest, my mom was just the greatest. And she was, you know, sick for several years. It wasn't a surprise, but... I think about her every day. So that's hard for me. Definitely. I miss her. I think about and convey, like, when something happens. Like, probably when I get off the phone here, probably the first thing I would normally do is call my mom. So, that part's hard. But yeah, I've always kind of had a positive attitude pretty much about my cancer, anyway.
Yeah, I have to say, I applaud that positivity. I would imagine it must be hard to summon that in the face of all this, and you did that immediately. I feel like I opened up 3 or 4 doors to real grim conversation. You said, no, you know what? We're good to go. It's in the past. Let's let it be the past.
Exactly. And, you know, it comes up on me occasionally. Like a couple months ago, I thought I felt a lump, and, you know, I was in a massive panic, and I had an MRI, and it was nothing. So, you know, I mean, it definitely comes upon me for sure. But I just feel like I think you have to. I mean, I saw kind of the difference with both my parents. My dad was pretty difficult. I mean, not throughout his life, but just when he was sick and just really negative. And I think it kind of hastened everything to go a little bit worse. And my mom was the opposite, and I think she stuck around much longer than maybe she was expected to. So I think that was kind of a role model for me. And, you know, I didn't want to freak out my son. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, when you're a mom, sometimes you just kind of do what you gotta do.
Yeah. How did he handle it? He must have been scared, or did you just kind of like shelter him from it at all? Or I would imagine having a son when you've already having a child when you've lost a parent, did you learn from your experience as a child how to be a parent in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good question. I don't think I've ever thought of that before, but I can say funny enough, it's actually not funny, but my mom had breast cancer when I was a child. So, and she had a different cancer when she passed away. But I basically didn't know that she had cancer when I was a kid until like I was much, much older, probably like a late teenager. And it's like weird for me that like I didn't know, and it was very, you know, kind of like, mom's in the hospital, she's okay. And I just knew like I couldn't go in her room sometimes. But I just, you know, kind of weird and secretive. And I just definitely knew I didn't want to do that with my son. And I think, you know, that was more the time. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about my parents. I think back when it was like you whispered about cancer, you know, and stuff like that. So, but no, I was pretty open with him. I mean, I wasn't like, oh, people die, you know, but I didn't want him to be like that scared. But I was just like, I have this thing, and, you know, and after surgery, and then after this, and kind of warning him in advance, like after the chemo, I'm not going to be feeling good, and losing my hair. He's actually the only person, he asked me if he could see me bald. I have like a lot of curly hair. He asked me if he could see me bald, and he was the only person that I let see me bald.
Wow. That's like...
I know.
That's like such a specific bonding thing. Was it just out of his pure curiosity, or...
Yeah, because I have like long, long, long brown curly hair. And I think he was just like, you know, I mean, obviously I was wearing a wig, you know, outside. And when I was inside the house, I was wearing like a little cap or something over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was just like, wow.
So it was just curiosity, and then he didn't react. He didn't react big one way or the other?
He actually was kind of like, oh my God, but like with a smile, you know, not like, God, that's crazy, you know, but not like horrified, you know. I think I just always kept it really light, you know, and even like there's a few times when I was feeling terrible after chemo, but other than that, I was pretty light, and my mom was really good about like, oh, let's make mom like a picture or a card and stuff like that, and he felt like he was helping, you know, doing something, and so, yeah, so I think it wasn't super scary for him, and I think even at that age, I don't think you know exactly what cancer is, and so you've heard the word, but I remember one time saying to him, or saying to somebody, like, oh, I'm a cancer survivor, and he was like, so does that mean that people die from cancer? You know, this was years ago, and it hurts me that he didn't even realize that there was a possibility that, you know, I could die.
Yeah. It's intense.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're five years out. Mm-hmm. So how do you have to get screened all the time, huh?
Yes, in fact, I just went to my oncologist on Monday.
How often? And, how often do you get checked out?
About every 6 months, unless I'm having a freak out about something. So it was a couple months ago. I had an extra appointment, but yeah, every 6 months I go. And I go really regularly to my regular doctor. I'm really like on top of. I just don't want to get caught, you know.
Yeah. And can I ask? This might be sensitive. If you don't want to talk about it, that's okay. But I have not, you know, knock on wood, I have not dealt with this in my close mm-hmm. circle. Have you? Did you have? Is it a mastectomy? Mastectomy?
Oh yeah, no, totally you can ask. Yes, I did have a double mastectomy, I had actually two reconstruction surgeries. I've had kind of a difficult time with the reconstruction. It was first time got a little messed up. And I had chemo and I had radiation and I had the whole deal. And recently, this is super cool, and maybe this is like too much information, but I had heard that sometimes people got like tattoos on their breasts after they have reconstruction or even non-reconstruction, just because you're really scarred up and everything, and that doesn't really go away. And I decided that I wanted to do that, and I got like these lotus flowers. I just did it recently, like 2 weeks ago, and it looks really great, and I love it. And so now it's like I don't hate looking in the mirror.
Wow! So you have flowers. You got were you a tattoo person prior to that?
Two little ones, like, you know, if you saw me wearing like normal clothes, you wouldn't know. They were really little.
Yeah.
So this was like, this is big. I mean, these were like hours and hours and hours, like big. And you can kind of see like on my shoulder and like that, it kind of went up a little bit and stuff. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. How's your boyfriend?
Yeah,
like, your boyfriend's into the tattoos?
He didn't have any, and I did clear it with him. I mean, not like, you know, would he allow me, but you know, he's the one that's going to look at me, you know. And he was like, oh, I think that's awesome, go for it, you know. So now that it's done, he likes it, and I really like it, so.
That's cool. It's heartbreaking to hear someone so relentlessly cheerful 16 minutes in say, and now I don't feel bad looking in the mirror. You did let some of the pathos shine through on that one.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, interestingly, I started recently, I totally did not know that like other people did this, but I started watching One Mississippi. Have you ever seen that show on Amazon?
I have not had the pleasure.
Tig Notaro.
Oh, Tig's the best. Oh, it's Tig's show. I knew Tig had a show.
Yeah. And she has, you know, she had breast cancer also. And it's kind of like, I think, semi, you know, autobiographical. And she has one of the shows of it is like, she will not look at herself in the mirror. And I was totally like, oh my God, I'm the same way. So then I was like, oh my God, everybody must be like that too. So that really, I think, spurred me on to say that it's time for me to be able to look in the mirror and not wrinkle my nose about it. So,
wow. That's cool. Tig Notaro doing some good. Doing some good via One Mississippi.
Yeah.
I have to watch that show. I love Tig so much.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really, really good. I highly recommend it.
That's cool. I have to confess, in my ignorance, because I'm a very ignorant person, I think this show has exposed that again and again, I always thought once someone had a double mastectomy that it could not recur, but it can recur even in a reconstructed, reconstruction situation, huh?
It can. I mean, I think it's definitely less likely, but I think because you still, I mean, they do, you know, remove, I mean, I'm gross, but they do remove, you know, most of the tissue, but, you know, you still have like the wall, sort of like where your skin is, that, you know, something, you know, potentially could have been like hiding in there, or, you know, something could develop. It's kind of how it was explained to me. Probably has people listening who are like, that is absolutely true. But that's kind of how I thought that the doctors explained it to me. But and that's why they do like the chemo and the radiation to kind of, you know, see if they can just kill anything that's like still lingering.
Yeah. And would you, it sounds to me like we're talking, here's the thing that I'm feeling on my end. It's like we're talking about cancer. Cancer has affected you in so many ways, both personally and in the people you love, right in your immediate family. But it also feels like we keep bringing up that you do talk about it with such, you know, positivity in your voice and everything. Would you say it's like the defining, is it the defining aspect of your life, or do you refuse to let it be, or are you wrangling it and saying if it is, that it's going to be on my terms? Like where do you sit with it overall?
That is such an excellent question. Yes, I think it is definitely the defining point of my life for sure. I think like everything changed after, and I know it's so weird, but I think it almost like changed for good. Like I just came to a realization, especially after my mom passed away too, that, you know, I know it's totally cliche, but, you know, life is short. And I mean, I just, you know, I used to kind of be like, oh, you know, I don't have money for this, oh, that, you know, I just was kind of like bemoaning, like, oh, I got a divorce and rah. And then I was like, you know what, that's just bullshit. Like, you know, right now I decided to go back to school to get my master's and totally changing my career and everything. And, you know, I'm 26. I'm not, you know, young chick, but I just was like, you know, why spend the next 20 years working somewhere you don't want to work and doing something you don't want to do? And I like encouraged my boyfriend, like, let's go to Europe. Let's do things. I don't want to regret.
I'm going to go ahead and drop a word I don't drop so often in life. You're an inspiring person.
Thank you.
I don't think anybody's arguing that at this point. She is inspiring, right? And it only rolls from there. I'm not going to dance around this one so much when we come back. But in the meantime, we got a whole lot of sponsors. They're the people that allow this show to happen. Let's go ahead and check out the products, the services from our sponsors. Finding the right gift for your loved ones, it can be really impossible, especially guys. It is so hard to shop for guys, okay? How difficult is it finding something that's thoughtful, but also useful and practical? I want to tell you about Harry's. Harry's is such a cool service. They have these shave kits. They make great gifts. They're very, very practical. Think about that. People use them during such personal moments, and they'll always think of you when they do. You can make it personal too. You can get it engraved, all that. I have a Harry's kit. It comes in such a nice box. This is not, you know, you go to the drugstore, you get your razors and your stuff, and it's like it's in some packet, that plastic stuff where there's no way to actually open it. You have to stab it apart and rip. No, this comes in a nice box. You open it. Feels classy. Feels cool. If you have not heard of them before, Harry's was started by two best friends, Jeff and Andy. They were fed up with being overcharged for razors. They started their own razor company to give people what they deserve, great shave at a fair price. This holiday, Harry's is offering a limited edition shaving set, Midnight Blue Chrome Razor Handle, which you can get engraved with initials, three of Harry's German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave cream that smells amazing, beautifully designed gift box, goes for $30 on harrys.com. They also offer handles and sets starting at just $10 if you haven't tried Harry's for yourself. Free shipping ends on December 9th, so act now. Go to harrys.com right now. Get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last. Don't forget to enter code BEAUTIFUL at checkout for $5 off. That's harrys.com, code BEAUTIFUL. Thank you so much to all our sponsors, and thank you to our caller who's really opening up, telling us how real life works. I'm psyched to hear more. I hope you are too. Back to the call. I'm going to go ahead and drop a word I don't drop so often in life. You're an inspiring person.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
We're talking about someone who's seen cancer in your parents, in your boyfriend, in yourself, single mom of many years, working hard, currently hiding from work, of course, but in general, working, 9-to-5 job, also going back to school, also seeing the world, also not letting cancer become this thing that makes you a morose person, but rather a thoughtful and philosophical person, I'm going to go ahead and say everybody should try to live a little more like you. I'm going to go ahead and declare that 20 minutes in.
Wow. Thank you. That's very nice.
How do you do all this? How do you work and go back to school and raise a kid and have a boyfriend and travel and have cancer? How do you do all that?
Well, I didn't do the school thing, you know, during the cancer thing. That would have been too crazy. But
yeah, I'm sure you don't like trot on down to the registrar right after you get that news. You probably probably take a couple days off.
Exactly.
Walk me through. Exactly. Can you tell me your daily schedule? Like, what's an average day like for you?
You know, it's not crazy. I mean, you know, get up and take my son to school and go to work, and you know, it's normal. Get everybody else from home and dinner, take him to baseball. You know, and in between there, I have homework and reading, and but it's not. I don't know, I kind of, if I have a lot of stuff to do during the week, I usually, on Saturday and Sunday, can squeeze in some time and to do work. And then I actually go to a classroom one night a week. I don't just do it online. And,
Hey, come on. Just listening to yourself. You're like, yeah, you know, it's no big deal. I wake up early. I get my son to school. I go to work. I come home. I cook dinner. I get him to baseball. Then I do my homework. And then what are you talking about? You can't just brush that off. Everybody tells me I'm a busy person. Everybody's like, oh, Gethard, you're busy. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Sleep till like 9:30, 10 o'clock every day. And I fart around on the internet while I sit on the toilet. And then I take a shower and I go and I stress out about comedy nonsense. Here you are. You got this kid. What's it? 13, 8th grade, 9th grade, freshman year?
Mm-hmm. 8th grade, yeah.
8th grade, the worst year of life. You have a son who's going through what is everyone's worst year of life, 8th grade. You're getting him off with this positivity. You're going to work. You work 9-to-5?
Yes.
5 days a week?
Yes.
And then you're banging out these online classes, and then sometimes you got to run down to campus with all these co-eds. You got this. You got to cook dinner for the kid. You got to check in with the boyfriend. This is miraculous.
Thank you.
And you're doing this all as a survivor.
That's what did it, though. That's what changed it. You know, I kind of thought like, this is what I want, then I got to do it. Do it now.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Do it now. You already waited long enough. You're already in your 40s. Like, stop fucking around and do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying it. That's awesome.
That's cool to hear. And are you studying something that relates to your current job, or are you like, nope, I'm out. I'm going to study something else.
No, it is kind. I recently changed jobs a few months ago, and it's a little bit closer. I'm studying to be a therapist, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're going to get that private practice going.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
And then you know what happens every. You know what I noticed? A friend of mine who is a therapist pointed this out. Every therapist takes the entire month of August off. So you're going to become a therapist, get that private practice going. You've lived through so much. I bet that there's going to be a whole network of other people who have lived through similar things, and you'll have specific insight to them. You can help other people navigate these troubled waters that you've had to live through 3 or 4 times now. And then you take August off. You get that boyfriend take you out to Portugal. I hear Portugal's real cool right now. I hear that's the coolest spot. Berlin.
Nice.
Everybody's saying Berlin. You know, live it. It's going to be great.
Wow. That sounds great. Gosh.
Hey. I didn't make it up. You're in the process of doing it. We all know that's your plan. I know that's your plan deep down. You've been planning this for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And I love my therapist. She's totally changed my life. So if I could even do a quarter of what she does, I mean, it would be amazing.
That's awesome. I love my therapist too. She listens to the show. Hello to my therapist.
Hey.
Hello to my therapist.
Hey.
That's cool. So tell me about this.
I'm excited. I still have a while left.
Tell me about this boyfriend. What's the deal with the boyfriend? Good guy?
He's so good. He's like, he's really, really fantastic. Really, really awesome. Not only is he awesome, but his family is awesome and the best. And his parents are still around, and uncle and cousins and stuff. And I just really love, I mean, I'm just got so lucky that if I don't have my parents around, that I have his awesome parents. And they love my son, which is really great too. And I really lucked out with him. I don't know that we're going to take a stroll down the aisle again, but we're going to be together. We've, you know, discussed that, like, we're committed, but I think neither of us is sort of ready to go get married.
Has he been married before as well?
Yes.
So you both are like, been through that. No, thanks.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not a bad, you know, it's not a bad institution. I'm not anti people getting married. I feel like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. And it ain't broke. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's good. Him and your son get along?
They do. And he has two kids, also one boy at college. And one stays with us, you know, every other week or so. And, they all get along pretty good.
I gotta say, I hope this doesn't sound horrifically insensitive. Outside of the fact that your entire family for generations has been ravaged by cancer, you really got life figured out.
Thank you. I mean, it took me a little while, you know.
What's the secret? What's the key?
I'm 46, and I feel like it just happened, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You've got wisdom. You've got wisdom. You've really lived. What's the secret? What's the secret to staying this positive?
Good question. I mean, I think I have to some degree always kind of been, you know, a positive person. I think you have to kind of start out that way. But, I'm not just putting in a plug because I'm going to be a therapist someday, but I think having therapy for many, many years has been so helpful. And, you know, now I just, you know, I definitely had a different perspective on life now, after kind of, you know, one thing after another, you know, divorce and my dad and my mom and me and, you know, one after another, it just kind of like, I could either like lay in bed and cry every day, which I really couldn't do because I had a son, but, you know, or kind of say, get off your ass and go do something.
Get off your ass and go do something. I think that's a good motto. I think that's a good very real, applicable, non-melodramatic motto in life. Get off your ass, do something. Can I ask you something? This is gonna people might get mad at me because this is gonna sound insensitive, but I'm asking it only because I'm genuinely interested. Because you just listed the examples of all the different things that you could have bought into that could have led to a lot of negativity that you're saying, nope, I'm not gonna let those things define me. Out of all these things you've dealt with, can you rank them? Like what were the hardest ones? Living through cancer, losing people to cancer, divorce. These are all things that can really create speed bumps in life. You've navigated mm-hmm. those waters. You have a very happy life. Let's rank the horrors. Let's rank the horrors. Having cancer, losing someone to cancer, divorce. Which ones were most... Let's start with the least horrible to the most horrible, recognizing that they were all horrible. Or as I say, right. Having grown up in New Jersey, horrible. That's how I said it growing up, horrible. Because I grew up in Jersey.
Excellent.
And then everybody, when I got to New York, everybody started making fun of me because I said horrible and terrible.
I was only a New Jersey thing. It's not a New York thing also.
No, that's the thing. The stereotypical New York accent that people talk about is largely dying out. I mean, pockets of Brooklyn and Queens and Staten Island and Jersey, but there is no such thing as that Joysy accent. That whole thing was just an SNL skit. Nobody says Joysy ever. The Jersey accent sounds a little bit more like what the world recognizes as like the traditional Lower East Side, like Jewish accent, I think. Like a little bit more Woody Allen-ish, but maybe a little watered down. Mm-hmm. Horrible, terrible, coffee dog, that type of thing. Anyway, let's rank the horrors. Let's rank the horrors. Losing someone to cancer, divorce, having cancer. You're going to tell us least horrible to most horrible, how they affected your life.
Well, probably had you asked me before all of this, you know, a lot of this happened, I would have said the divorce was definitely the worst, but I now consider that actually the least horrible. I think it was the right course of action, and it's turned out fine, and my ex and I get along and everything, so that's definitely the least. I probably actually put my own cancer next in the least. And then my boyfriend, and then, or I didn't include my dad in there, I guess. My dad probably after my divorce, and then me, and then my boyfriend, then my mom's passing, probably.
Yeah.
The hardest. I think it's almost a toss-up because, for the top two, because my mom is... I'm really going to, like, I feel like I'm totally, like, half bringing, you know, this down and half not, because I'm not crying about it. But, like, literally, no joke, the week after my mom passed away is when we found out my boyfriend had cancer.
So it was
such, like, a crazy hard time of emotions. I almost kind of, like, lumped them together, you know, because...
Yeah.
Right at the same time.
Wow, that is brutal. That is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
How long was your boyfriend dealing with it? How long did you have to be in the trenches on that one?
He had pretty hardcore treatment for, gosh, because my mom passed away in May. Probably like 5-6 months, pretty, well, maybe not that long, maybe like 4 or 5 months was kind of like really, he was really miserable during his treatment. And then kind of recovering from it, another couple months, just like the, like side effects from the treatment. So yeah, probably about like half a year total of really kind of in it.
And that's on the heels. That starts the week after your mother passes.
Well, we found out then, I mean, he didn't start his treatment.
Yeah.
Like immediately, but yeah.
How are you not curled up in the fetal position all day, every day?
I mean, I right after my mom passed away and all this was going on and, you know, he was miserable. I mean, there was a lot of hard times. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There was a lot of tears, a lot of, I don't know how I'm going to make it through kind of thing. Definitely.
Yeah. But overall, you're someone who wants to live a life that you love. That's what I'm picking up on.
Exactly.
You don't want to sit around dwelling. You don't want to sit around being negative.
Right.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm happy with it. It can be nerve-wracking, you know, especially with both of us, having had cancer, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a little, I think it never leaves your mind of, you know, like, oh God, it's going to come back and I feel something weird, or is this weird thing going to be something and whatever. So, it's hard kind of for both of us we're both pretty rational, but I think we could both in our own heads kind of be like, no, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, I'm really glad I'm having this call today myself, because I've been in a pissy.
You are?
Well, I've been in a pissy mood all day, and ask me the reason.
What's the reason?
Literally no reason. Just kind of woke up pissy and just decided to stay pissy for no reason. Things are going great. Things are going better for me than they ever have by anybody's standards, including my own. I've been on a hot streak. I got a great wife the past 2 years, and I just woke up like this. And I've been acting like that all day. And then I talk to you, and you're like, my whole life has been riddled with death, near death, divorce, but you know what? I'm going to get motivated, get a master's degree, travel, live, love, be happy, be cool with myself, make the improvements in my life I need to make both mentally and physically so I can look in the mirror, feel good, know who I am, and attack life head on, and all with a smile on your face that I can feel through the phone as you're crouched next to an outlet at work, and here's me. I feel so pissy because I'm a comedian. I work for like an hour and a half every night. That's me walking around like an ungrateful little shit. That's me.
Well, people are allowed to be in bad moods for no reason.
Yeah, you know what? The last thing this call should turn into is you letting me off the hook for my bad move. What a self-serving, shitty thing. Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you because I've, like, spilled all my guts, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot. What's the coolest thing? What's the coolest thing about being a single mom? Because if there's anybody that can find the positive in being a single mom, are there experiences you feel like you get as a single mom that you wouldn't have had if you were married to your son's father? Because if there's here's one thing I've learned about you in the past 37 minutes. If there's anybody who can find the positive in a situation other people view as tough, I'm on the phone with her right now. We're going to go ahead and pause right there. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't sure if that was a cool question to ask, but wait till you hear her answer. Really honest. And I enjoy it greatly. We'll be back with that answer and so much more after we hear from our sponsors. The holidays are here, and that means more so than usual. Even the post office, it's packed with everybody mailing holiday gifts. You have to get business packages or mailings out. You really do not have time right now to go to the post office. And here's what you need to do. You sign up for Stamps.com. Trust me on this. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you do it from home anyway, where you sit in your underwear and do it. You're home. You live your life. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Then just hand it to the mailman and you're done. Sign up now. Within minutes, you can start buying and printing your own postage. It's really easy, really convenient. My wife's been using it. She loves it. She told me the other day. I just asked her yesterday, how you liking the stamps.com? She said, it's easy to use and I'm saving money. It doesn't get better than that. That's an endorsement for my wife. She tells it like it is. Right now, sign up for stamps.com. Use my promo code BEAUTIFUL for this special offer. 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in beautiful. That's stamps.com. Enter beautiful. Thank you so much to our sponsors. Remember, I just asked her, what's the best part of being a single parent? Let's hear that answer.
Yeah, there's definitely, it can be hard, certainly, but... And we've been doing it for a while, too, so that makes it a little bit more easy on everybody, I think. But, funny enough, I think one of the things, especially when you have a teenager, is that he does week on, week off, with me and his dad. And having a week off is nice. I mean, I miss him. But usually, like, by the Sunday where he's going back with his dad, I'm like, okay, bye.
Yeah, I mean, a 13-year-old kid. Having been 13, I can imagine my parents would have loved a week off twice a month, having dealt with me. Wow, that's pretty cool. And you know what? Let's go ahead and also give you an award for this. That's a very honest answer. And I think people appreciate it. What's the best thing about being a single parent? I get 2 weeks off a month. That is pretty basic. That's good. I like that.
I would say probably in the past, I probably had a difficult time when he was younger because he was, super, younger and more like lovey-dovey. And now he's a little bit more mopey, but still a good kid. But it's nice to have a little break. But one more, I guess, a nice thing to say, which is true. This might also be just having one kid too. That like he and I, even since my boyfriend and I've been together, like still just do. Like my boyfriend and I will do vacations with each other and no kids. And then when we will often do like a trip, like me with my son and him with his kids separately. And it's really fun doing like one-on-one, like alone time, with my son and going on vacation, just him and I and stuff. And it always has been, forever when we've done that. So
that's cool.
It's nice. It's nice having that. And, you don't have another person there to change the dynamic.
And how's it? Here's something I have a question about parenting in the modern age, if I may. Slight diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm 36, you're 46. We grew up in slightly different ways, but your son is growing up in literally a different world than we grew up in. That's just a fact. There's things your son has grown up with that you and I are still like, are we living in Star Trek? Like cell phones and the internet. People forget, I'm 36 years old. We didn't have the internet until I was in like 8th or 9th grade. And I remember figuring it out, it was like by dialing into BBS systems and you download, 8th grade boy, I'd download a nudie picture. It would take 11 minutes to see a boob. Like that's what the internet was in the early days. Your son has grown up with this. So do you see like... do you see things in your son and your son's experience where you're like, that is eerily close to who I was in eighth grade, or is it just a different thing? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still get to feel like, oh, I recognize the experiences he's having and bond with him over those in some way or recognize them?
I mean, I would say for the most part, especially also being a boy too, you know, I think it is a very different experience because girls, you know, are, I feel like a little bit crazier at that age, with hormones and such, but you know, the other day was kind of funny. We actually had a conversation where, I took him to a movie, which is unusual, but so just the two of us, and I think he was like super like, oh my God, if someone sees me going to a movie with my mom, it'll be the end of the world. And so I kind of said to him like, oh, are you going to be really embarrassed if, you know, you see a friend? And he was like, oh yeah, kind of. I'm like, I get it. I'm like, I totally like that too. And he was like, what? And I was 13 at some point and I was totally mortified, you know, about my parents and everything. And he just totally was like, I don't believe that, you know? And I mean, some things, you know, of course don't change, but a lot definitely.
Yeah.
Does change.
What movie did you see?
It's weird. Oh, we saw that middle school movie. It was a movie called Middle School.
Oh, I would, I have to imagine I would never see that based on my, my experience with middle school.
Right. Yeah, I think really you'd only go see it if you had a middle school age.
How is it watching a kid go to middle school? Middle school is the worst. Are you, like when your kid gets to 6th, 7th grade, are you just like, ah, oh, fuck. I remember what this was like. This poor guy's going to have to go through that. Everybody just raging with hormones and fighting and the late bloomers are late blooming. And then you got another kid with a full beard. And everybody's just horny. Everybody's horny out of nowhere, and they don't even know what that is. Everybody just feels guilty all the time because they're horny. Is your kid dating? Does your kid have girlfriends and stuff?
Horny. Please don't say horny.
I'm sorry. That was too much. I am not a parent, so I can still make jokes like that. I'm sorry to put that idea in your head when you're the one who has a son. I meant that purely theoretically, of course. Is your son dating? Does he have? Is your son feeling that out? Is that weird?
You know, he definitely has had girls that he likes that he has told me periodically with when I ask. I try not to pry too much because he doesn't like it. But no girlfriend. A couple friends of his have had a girlfriend. And I still don't really get what that means in eighth grade because I don't really remember what that meant in eighth grade for me. Because I kind of like, oh, did they kiss? They hold hands? And he says, no. I don't know if that's truthful. But yeah, he definitely has, you know, girls that he's interested in and stuff. And definitely this year has been a change in, like, every morning we have to make sure his hair looks good.
Whoa, he's stylish.
Yeah, so otherwise he looks, you know, pretty typical 13-year-old shorts and T-shirt, but he likes to really, like, every morning we have to make sure his hair looks good.
So he's dressing just like everybody else, but hair, he's setting the bar. Setting the bar at the junior high school. That's cool.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think he's pretty shy. He's really into sports, and I think he wouldn't have any idea, like, what to talk to a girl about, you know, like, if she's not into sports, like, I think he would be at a loss. But yeah, he's a good kid, but it is weird. I mean, middle school is weird, and it does kind of, like, cringeworthy, but something about high school kind of even next year freaks me out a little bit more, I think, just more in the dating and, like, sex and internet and that kind of thing.
Things start moving real fast. And how's that work as a single mom? Like, do you and his dad have to discuss like the actual, like, do you and his dad have to get on the phone and say like, who's going to do the birds and bees talk? Like, do you have to hash out all those different things?
Like what kind of talk did you say?
Like, do you have to like say like who's giving the birds and bees talk, or like who's gonna, like there's different like parental responsibilities that are a little bit more about like life guidance. Do you have to like check in with his dad, make sure that that's happening, or even discuss who's gonna do what?
I think it's been, no, not really. I mean, unless it's something that like we're talking about ahead of time. Anyway, like, oh, you know, maybe we should blah, blah. But often things come up sort of organically. I mean, like, I just talk a lot to him. I think I talk more to him than maybe his dad does. I mean, just in general, you know, I just have more, like, asking more questions about things in his life. And so then I think things could tend to come up more, like, you know, I told him about the birds and the bees because he asked me, just happened to ask me because he heard something on TV. And, yeah, that was crazy.
What show is he watching? Do you remember what show he was watching?
Well, it was like, it was funny because I was actually watching something and it wasn't even bad, but he heard the word sex and he was in the other room and came in and then was like, what's sex?
So he'd been looking for, he was like waiting for the door to, he had this on his mind and then he heard it and he was like, that's my in.
Right.
And then do you have that moment where you're like, oh, why did I have the volume up so loud?
Exactly. Well, it's funny because he was just kind of standing like in the doorway and I was like, well, this is like a bigger discussion. It's not like a sentence, you know? So I'm like kind of thinking he'd be like, oh man, whatever, you know? I was like, so if you want to have like a discussion, we can, but it's not going to take 2 seconds, you know? And he was like, okay.
And you have to, you got to go ahead and pause, you know, whatever you whatever you're watching that, you got to go and pause Blackish that night. You got to pause Modern Family. Have that. Wow.
Yeah.
How'd he handle it?
He thought it was disgusting.
Wow.
And this was like, this was several years ago, but yeah, he was like, oh, like that. Like that sounds horrible.
Yeah. It's kind of. It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of gross, like physically, but it's super fun once you get into it. Anyway, I don't know why I just said that. I got awkward. I got awkward about the idea of having a birds and bees talk, and you're the one who had to do it.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty awkward.
And then I was going to say, like, do you have to call his dad and say, like, well, he knows about that now.
I did at that point because that was kind of a big
and I bet
a big thing to discuss.
And do you think he's just like silently on the, like he's just like yes on the other end of the phone because he didn't have to do it?
I don't know. I mean, I think he laughed because he kind of, you know, was like, well, he, you know, what, how he react and whatever. And yeah, I think he was just kind of laughing like, you know, ho ho, sucker. But yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I talk to him about a lot of stuff like that. I just, you know, I want him, I feel like, I know like I was really sheltered when I was a kid and I didn't know like what stuff meant, you know, at all. And I kind of try and like be really open about that kind of stuff. Like if something sort of comes up and sometimes I'll be like, do you know what that means? You know, if we see something or one of his friends, you know, sometimes I pick them up from school, his friends will say something. And when they get out of the car, I'm like, do you know what that means? And if he says no, then I tell him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's okay for him to know what, you know, certain things mean.
That's cool. What are these things? What are these things that these people are saying in the car that you're like, I have to sort this out?
I don't remember, like right before his friends got out of the car, there was some, can I say anything? Is this, I feel weird kind of saying this, but there was some like oral sex reference that I think they thought they were getting by me kind of thing.
Ugh.
And
Must be so weird for you.
And I really don't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't like totally like an explicit, you know, remark. But so I kind of thought that I didn't know what it was. Oh, I just said his name. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's okay. We'll bleep it. Yeah, we're going to bleep it. We're marking the time code right now so we can bleep that. Bleep the names. No names.
Oh, my God. He would so kill me.
I also want to say, too, we had one episode. Jared, did you know this? I don't think you produced this one. We had an episode where we told somebody we would bleep their loved one's name, and we bleeped it once and then left it in like three other times. And I got so many tweets. I got so many tweets, and I didn't even respond to the tweets because I was like, oh, that's bad. But we'll make sure we bleep that. We'll bleep that one. We'll scrub this one clean. So anyway, so oral sex comes up.
Oh, God.
That's okay.
Yes. And so I asked him if he knew what you were referring to, and he kind of was weird and like, well, yeah. Like, he didn't want to. I'm like, it's okay if you don't. And he's like, no, I don't. And then, like, I explained it. And I just felt like if his friends are going to mention something, I don't want him to be, like, the one kid who's like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah. And I would imagine there's another layer.
I don't know.
Layer.
Maybe that's weird.
No, cause you know what? I don't know. I'm not a parent. I don't know if that's weird. But I think there's another aspect of it, too, which is, like, if you would, because I remember me and all my little friends making jokes, but it's like, if you always go like, well, here's the reality check of what that means, I bet that also means that your son is going to like think twice before just throwing things around casually, and it's probably going to make him a respectful dude.
I hope so.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, this isn't just like a thing to giggle about. This is a thing that people will deal with and you'll experience and other people experience, and maybe you should know what it is before the jokes fly around. I think that's a good policy.
Right.
I think that's a good policy. This is, we packed the line. Yeah, I tell you, we got about 8.5 minutes left. There's a lot of meat on the bones of this call. A lot of meat on the bones of this one.
I know.
We've covered a lot.
It went by so quickly, too. I'm, you know, crouched down, and I'm not even, like, uncomfortable or anything.
Your phone's still not charged at all, huh? You still haven't picked up a charge.
Well, I haven't taken that to look, and I just didn't want to chance it. You know, yeah. I have kind of an older phone, so.
I get that. Look at that. We've covered surviving cancer. We've covered being a single mom. We've covered how I'm kind of a crabby piece of shit. We've covered sex talks. We've covered everything. Whatever you need. How long until you get your master's degree?
It's going to be a while. It's kind of a slow program because I work, you know, because of all the other stuff that I'm doing, it's pretty slow. But I probably have like a year of like schoolwork, and then, you know, you have to do like internships and that kind of thing. So I probably have like about a year and a half before I graduate.
And your internships, are you going to go into like mental health clinics and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, organizations that have, you know, therapy and stuff like that. So
I think that's really cool. I'm a big proponent of the mental health myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I literally think that everybody should have therapists. I think that the world would be a happier place if they did.
But. Yeah, but I got friends of mine who are like, oh, I'm glad you talk about that stuff on stage, but I don't know, it's not for me. And it's like, I think you're missing out. It's like lowest level, you have this person in your life who you're paying them money so you can kind of vent and complain. And they just have to like listen and then tell you what they think. And then you get that stuff off your chest. Feels good.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a paid confidant. A paid confidant.
Right. And they don't have any like investment as far as like they're not friends with your boyfriend or, you know, it's not anything like that. It's so nice.
I feel like half of therapy for me is I give a lady money and I'm like, I'm just going to say all the crazy shit that's in my brain that I know is a little outlandish about all these different things I've dealt with and people. And I'm just going to say this so I can say it. And I know it's not totally the reality. And then you can tell me all the parts that are true and the parts that don't seem as true. And then I've ranted about this coworker of mine, and now I can let it go and just be normal around them. I feel like that's a pretty good thing to have in life.
Absolutely.
I think it's cool that you're going to go do it. I think that's really nice.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. I think it'll be really good for me and I definitely feel like I kind of missed my calling and now I'm back on track.
That's cool. What's the next vacation you got planned with the boyfriend?
We just went for like a road trip, which I won't say where, close by. It was like a 2-hour drive, which was fun, just kind of like to get out of town. But I don't know. I think we might, I don't know, we're thinking maybe like Chicago. I'm not
That's
sure.
Cool.
Not sure. Probably not like a big international trip.
Yeah. You say, here's a simple question. Are you, now that you got these tattoos, like, I bet the next time you go to the beach, you're gonna enjoy that.
Like showing them off kind of thing?
Yeah, it sounds like you said before the scars were tough, didn't like looking at them. I bet now you can, just go, relax on the beach a little more, right? I don't know why that popped into my head.
Yeah. For sure. And in fact, you can even like what I'm wearing to work today, you can kind of see like a little tiny bit of like some of the vines and stuff that I have off of the flowers. And I kind of like it because I think people sometimes often view me as, you know, a little bit like, you know, rule follower, which I am to some degree. But my son actually said that he thought that I was kind of a badass for having like the tattoos. And so I kind of, I'm like, I am a little bit of a badass. So I'm going to like shut off.
I love that. I love that he said that. And I love hearing you in that tone of voice go, I am a little bit of a badass. I like that. I like that. I am a little bit of a badass. I think that's good. That's cool.
Yeah, I think I haven't let the badass come out quite enough as I should. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know. Traditional. If we're talking badass in the sense of now you got tattoos and that's like relates to like the old like the biker image badass. Sure, but I think everybody listening feels like you've been a badass for a while.
I do my best.
What's that?
I do my best.
Oh, I thought you said I'm the best. I was like, that seems
out
of character. Seems out of character based on everything we've talked about for the prior 47 minutes. You do your best. Well, you've done your best, and I think it's truly, genuinely very inspiring to hear about. It's going to make me work a little harder to do my best and not take so many things for granted.
Thank you.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left. You can say and do whatever you want with them.
I know, like, it's kind of cliche. I mean, I think people always say this, but, you know, I really love your podcast. I think it's just so awesome. And I love that you're doing this. And, I mean, just that you're, like, taking the time to listen to, like, my crap and everyone else's crap. And it's really, really cool. And I will tell you that, actually, oddly enough, because I'm, like, super hardcore Democrat liberal, I loved the one that you had the Trump lady on, because I thought you were such a good listener and you were really fair to her. And it kind of gave me like a check in my head, like, you know, you don't have to just be like the jerk about it, you know, to myself.
Thanks. And it was a lesson to me too. It was like, we all, I think, cause I am a Democrat as well, or at the very least a liberal outside of the, you know, party politics. This is all this scary stuff. It's coming from somewhere, and we better not all just keep brushing each other off, because things are getting a little too scary. But it seems like that's almost over. Thank God.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Maybe by the time we even put this one out, we'll all be giggling and saying, "Remember how weird that was? Remember that weird year of life? Why did we allow that to happen?" That might be happening by then. Or many of us will be fleeing across oceans to different countries. Who knows? Who knows?
Then I'll really be like in the fetal position crying in my bed. I don't know if I can handle anything else.
That's what it'll take. That's what it'll take. After losing both parents, almost losing your boyfriend, almost losing yourself, going through a nasty divorce, redefining your life over and over again. If Trump's president, that's what will break you. Well, I think we'll all know by the time this comes out, and hopefully we're all laughing about this. I want to thank you genuinely for calling. That's so nice that you like the podcast. You say I'm a good listener, but I don't get to be a good listener unless people like you call in. And when you say things that are this fascinating and inspiring, it makes my job very easy. So thank you for it.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. It was really fun talking to you.
Yeah. You too. Once again, thank you to that caller. That was like a checklist of things in her life that I think all of us would say living through one of those things is pretty tough, let alone all four or five of the things that she laid out. But I bet I'm not the only one walking away from that conversation going, you know what? I'm going to really appreciate what I got. And thank you for that. Thank you so sincerely for that. What a pleasant conversation. And I hope you and your boyfriend and your son and all the people in your life just meet with all the positivity and happiness that you deserve. I want to thank so many people, the Reverend John Delore, Greta Cohn, Jared O'Connell, Shell Shag for the intro music. People are always asking me who does the music. It's Shell Shag. If you want to know more about me, chrisgeth.com. And most importantly, I got this off-Broadway show going right now. It's about my issues with depression. It's really funny. Got a New York Times critic pick. Judd Apatow's producing it. CareerSuicideShow.com. And also, thank you, everybody who supports Beautiful Anonymous. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. It really genuinely helps so much. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time on Beautiful Anonymous. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, we hear what life is like inside a cult you never expected to wind up in.
Eventually, I guess, I discovered it was a cult, ended up in a hospital. But yeah, that like should have been a red flag.
Is that what like everybody did, every female member of this cult wear, that have long hair in a bun?
Yes, they did.
It's like a uniform. Is it like an extreme sect of an existing religion? Is it its own thing? Does it have its own theology? What are we talking here?
It's definitely a religious-based cult. I ended up like years later when I was out of it. I Googled it.
That's next time on Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People.
Hello, I'm John Lennon, and I'm simply having a wonderful Christmas time with all my new Earwolf merch. Just look at what Earwolf added to their store this year. Make your friends jealous, guys, with the brand new Earwolf Activity Book. Go on a magical mystery tour in your Hello from the Magic Tavern t-shirt. Shake it up, baby, with the longest, shortest time baby onesie. And there's gear from Comedy Bang Bang, How Did This Get Made, and so much more. Imagine all the deals. Go to store.earwolf.com today and use the promo code HOHO to get 15% off your purchase if you order by December 10th. Pick up a great gift for the podcast fan in your life this holiday season. Drums.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.